Hello, everybody. This is Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols, and we are doing another Tactical Fitness Report. This time, the much-awaited CrossFit athlete prepares for buds.
The Halloween edition.
Halloween edition.
So everyone's scared that we're – so, yeah, don't be
yeah,
scared.
Yeah, please. Like, let me just start off this right here, is that I have no problem with CrossFit. I think CrossFit is a great – program. I think it has done more good for fitness than just about any program that's out there. And, you know, it has done some fun things. As a competitor, like I just naturally like to compete, they have turned fitness into a competition. And some may even say they've turned fitness into a sport, right? So that's why we are making this show today called, you know, CrossFit Athlete Prepares for Buds. Right. Because there are some issues that the CrossFit athlete has if they don't specifically address them. Now, there are a ton of strengths, and that's what we're about to get in right now. So,
yeah. And so that's like it again. This is again, we're hearing CrossFit and people, a lot of people cringe. They're like, oh my God, like this is the opposite of CrossFit bashing. Understand that, people. This is something to where, whether we're talking about the football player, the power lifter, whatever it is, the swimmer, there are strengths and weaknesses that everyone exhibits based off of their sport of choice. That's what I was saying. CrossFit in itself has become this fantastic sport that I can't – now, the beauty is if you look at CrossFit when it was kicked off in the first games at Dave Castro's house till now, they almost don't even look the same.
Yeah.
Right? The evolution is great. Yeah. So this is definitely not – anti-CrossFit, folks. Let's because when Stu and I even mentioned it last podcast, he and I both basically got a bunch of hate mail from CrossFitters.
Yeah, like, thinking we're gonna bash.
Let's get outside our fucking egos for a second, folks.
Yeah,
and we're not. This is the opposite of bashing.
Absolutely. So, in fact, we're giving CrossFit the legitimacy of a football athlete,
yes,
a running athlete, a swimming athlete. You are a CrossFit athlete. Here's how you should prepare for buds.
Yes. Okay. All so right. Without further ado, we'll hit the strengths, the many, many strengths, and then we'll get into some of the weaknesses that are there, folks. So swallow the pride a little bit, just like I have to do and Stu has to do. There are weaknesses like everyone else. So Stu, let's go jump in. What do you think is the biggest strength? For lack of a better vernacular.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let's talk about some of the intangibles right from the start, you know, because, you know, they are mentally tough. I mean, they get after hard workouts and they grind these high intensity training interval training to a point of where, you know, they're exhausted so that they know how that feels. Right. And there is a, there is something to be gained from, you know, that type of ability to put out, right? Yep. There's nothing wrong with that kind of work capacity. So, you know, I would say their work capacity for a, you know, a particular amount of time is very good, right? And they tend to push themselves. They're very competitive, you know, which I tell people all the time. One of my favorite sayings, and I mean, I created it, is train to compete, not just survive. You know, because when I was at Buds, I saw people who were just there surviving every single day trying to just meet the standards, right? But if you go there and you're trying to compete to be part of the winning groups, part of the number one, you know, setting the standard, exceeding the standard, you have a greater amount of percentages of graduating that training versus thinking about quitting. You don't even think about quitting when you think about winning.
I mean, agreed. Yeah. That's brilliant. I mean, think about that. Just go ahead and repeat that again, Stu. That's so worth hearing.
Yeah. You never think about quitting if you are thinking about winning, right?
Boom.
If you're winning something, you know, or at least trying to win something.
Trademark it.
Yeah. You are going to not think about quitting. And that's where the saying train to compete, not just survive comes in, because I saw a lot of guys in survival mode and I saw a lot of guys who graduated that were in compete mode.
Yep. And that's the thing, even folks, even with yourself, not just competing with others, but that's where, again, the CrossFitters every single day are competing with their themselves, yep. their PRs.
Yep.
So, and that's one of those things that it's kind of a double-edged sword, but understand, like we talked about in the previous podcast about people's unwillingness to be uncomfortable and being pain. Yep. That typically is one of those things we almost have to pull the reins back on the CrossFitters, because that's almost, you know, in their recipe for success in CrossFit historically has been, hey, you know, you got to be uncomfortable to get to those PRs.
Right.
And that's where you see these big offshoots of like the Spartan races, the Go Ruck, which are just craziness, right? Like that's, it's almost like a prerequisite for success in these events is like, hey, don't even bother coming into this box if you're unwilling to endure. And that's exactly how it happens in Buds is like, hey man, don't even bother trying to go to Ranger school if you're not willing to be uncomfortable, or Buds or whatever it may be. So they, the synergy in that is fantastic. And that's why you see a lot of, there are, that is one of the real strong parallels that exist between Special Forces and the CrossFit community. They just almost run in unison.
Oh yeah. And I would say, you know, once you're out of the selection process and you're into the more active duty process, a CrossFit type system actually makes a little more sense, right? Yep. Because you don't necessarily need all the extra cardio that you need prior to Buds. And we'll get into that when we hit some of the weaknesses. But let's talk about some of the physiological strengths they bring to the table.
Yeah, I think that like we talked about previously with the runner trying to get strength and the big guy trying to get endurance, really what it comes down to is that metabolic conditioning, that buffering capacity. Now, this also will bleed into one of the weaknesses at a CrossFitter, because like I said, we got to pull the reins back. But traditionally speaking, especially for somebody that's been doing CrossFit for a while, they've kind of already navigated and modulated their intensity again a little bit better. So most CrossFitters that have done it for a while and have good movement patterns, that's like the big caveat, it's not slop. That efficiency becomes apparent, and their recovery rates, which is why they can do those repeating bouts of metabolic training. And that right there on the physiological side is, it's very difficult to train. Not like in the act of it. It's difficult to train because it sucks.
Yeah, embracing the suck is part of their mantra. And, you know, if you think about it, it is what we're trying to get the football player to be more like. It is what we're trying to get the runner to be more like, because there is some lifting involved in some of these
Repeat bouts of strength.
Yes.
A repeat bouts of explosive power. Repeat bouts of basically hypoxic endurance.
Yeah.
Like those are the sort of things that they really suck to achieve.
Yeah. They are hitting that anaerobic threshold
a lot.
Now there are some negatives to that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it is highly stressful on your body, you know? So I think once again, one of my jobs as a coach is to pull the reins on some of those workouts and just make them be a little more aerobic instead of anaerobic.
Yeah.
You know what? I will say this. There's a slight difference, I think, or I should say there's a broad definition of what the CrossFit athlete is. I think we may see some of this. There's a difference between the guy who goes to the CrossFit gym or picks it up on the internet and does it for 30 minutes and he's done for the day, right? Now, there's also a competitive CrossFit guy who will spend hours and hours in the gym working to be a competitive CrossFitter for the games, whether it's regionals or it's nationals or internationals.
Yep.
And
then there, the third piece is the actual top 50 CrossFitter.
Yes.
There's a vast, vast difference in those three individuals.
Yeah.
And I know hopefully as a CrossFitter, like if you're listening to this, you know that the Matt Frazers of the world or the Rich Fronings of the world, they don't do typically the WODs that you see on CrossFit.com. They are, and we'll get to this in here in a bit, like, because we're going to talk about the strengths, the weaknesses, and like, hey, maybe this is what we envision the programming to be infused? How do we infuse the CrossFit program to improve it? Right. So that's what they do, is they're basically doing undulating periodization is what they're doing. Undulating block periodization. That's what the Rich Fronings and all those guys, they work on their weaknesses, right? And then they change. They work on the next weakness. They don't just throw it all together and ball it up.
Right.
I guess the other night I mentioned, and not on this, but on my Instagram page, where this is, I saw the play out, if you will, of like exactly what where CrossFit has its value in the sports world. So this last Olympics in Rio, 35 or 37 days prior, I forget the exact day, was the wrestling world championships in Russia. So you have these two competitions that are really close in together, but also these two competitions will really simulate the tactical population. Like, hey, I got land warfare training. I've got, you know, and then I've got some mount training at Kentucky, and these two close training evolutions, and by proximity, well, how do I train? Well, so we have an athlete like a Jordan Burroughs, who's a world champion, Olympic gold medalist, who they had to peak him. He had to get peaked for the world championships in Russia. Right. And then he had to come back from the United, from Russia, make his way to Rio, coming through the United States. They had to repair him, recover him, and then peak him again for the Olympics. So you have these moments of micro peaks.
Right.
That right there is the perfect tactical population.
Yeah.
So it that's where the parallels, and that's also where that basically you do that by down regulation and up regulation in high intensity interval training. Because you don't have time to do a true strength block or hypertrophy block or whatever. Right. You just need the body moving fast and recovering quick. And that's where the high intensity world gets plugged in.
Yep.
So CrossFit, if you would be those ideal moments. But again, what we're doing is we'll get to the kind of the negative and the restructuring of it. It's not just randomize.
Right.
In terms of, hey, I'm going to do this movement, and this movement, and this movement, but they might be contrary. Okay.
Sure.
And that goes into the recovery piece. And we'll talk about it in a minute. But that's what I say is like CrossFit is beautiful in that scenario.
Yes.
And that's where CrossFit is beautiful in the scenario of the tactical population. You get all these, you know, I've got a work trip here and a work trip here and a work trip here preparing for deployment. Well, like I got to do these micro peaks in there, and that works out real well.
Sure. Yeah. That's a very good use of a very short block training. Yep. I like that. Let's think. The typical CrossFitter, you know, if he's been at it for a while, he might be pretty lean. Those guys are pretty lean. They got some muscle mass on them, you know, which all bodes well for, you know, going to buds.
Yep.
Might make things a little bit difficult in the pool, you know, being too lean. You know, yep. It might make, you know, because here's a unique thing about that drown proofing test is it doesn't matter who you are, there's going to be a weakness in there for you. You can either float really well because you're positive,
yep,
or you're going to bounce very well because you're negative.
Were you a sinker? I think we were talking
about this. I was a sinker.
I was a big time.
I'm
a sinker even with a wetsuit on.
Yeah, I can sink. If I exhale everything, I'm done. I'm on the bottom game doing over. Push-ups.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you're lean, you know, it makes floating harder. You know, if you're, you know, not lean, you know, it makes the bottom bounces harder and some of the, you know, picking up the mask with your teeth harder, you know, so,
yep,
you know, there are some weaknesses that we all have, you know, and that's the unique thing about buds. And the reason why we're even doing this series in the first place is that buds is one of those magical places that it doesn't take but a few weeks for your weaknesses to be exposed, you know, when yes, you go there. So what we're trying to do is focus on weaknesses, the strengths that you bring to the table. I think another strength that the CrossFit guys bring to the table is just, you know, just pure strength. You know, they are strong and they have muscle stamina.
Yep, that's a big one. So I want you also to like kind of – I want to overlay an image too to where – because we're trying to get you to look at this broad picture, and I'll keep this very abbreviated, but look at CrossFit, a person, like that stereotypical CrossFitter who's lean, like we're saying. It's got good endurance, good this, that, and the other. Then we have your bud student or SF student or ranger, whatever it is. And then we have a up top tier collegiate basketball player, NBA player. Okay, we have those three, and they go, we look at it and go, well, there's a lot of differences. But if you start dissecting the human body and go, okay, let's stop looking at the 6'7" basketball player. Let's look at what's going on with his heart during a basketball game. let's look at a Bud student during what's going on through, like, you're given physical aspects of Buds, and then let's look at a CrossFitter. That's where the similarity lies, because we're looking at cardiac. So you look at an NBA basketball player, they're lean, they're muscular, explosive, right? Yeah. And they can go for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Especially now, the difference is, like, the limiting factor for someone that's 6'10 or 6'7, right? There's just a lot of physics going against their bones. But, like, let's look at, like, someone that's, I don't forgive my names in the NBA, but let's look at someone that's 6'1 that's really good in the NBA. They're not going to have the same bone issues as, like, someone that's 7 foot tall necessarily.
True.
Okay. Necessarily. Yeah. But that's what I'm looking at, is, like, I'm not just looking at the physical. I want to get that cardiac output, that interval training, just like I do in sport, to get that result. A lot of power, a lot of speed, a lot of endurance. Okay. And then that's what I also want to get you guys to look at, because that's why we can say equivocally that, you know, CrossFit is a sport.
Yeah,
because look what's going on to the physical body.
Yeah, so absolutely. So yeah, like I said, we're giving CrossFit the amount of respect that we would give any other sport and athlete that is, you know, trying out for Buds.
For
so,
sure.
Yeah, so they got the strength foundation. They have a muscular stamina foundation.
I would say, for the most part, the flexibility and mobility, because of all the dynamic work that happens typically, stereotypically in CrossFit, is usually pretty good too.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I think that now this is where that we're going to bleed into overtraining.
Yeah.
If the training is modulated appropriately within that CrossFit training regimen, their resistance to injury is really improved. Now, we're kind of bleeding into some of the negative piece a little bit, but, like, that's where the biggest in everything with CrossFit or in sport, the biggest thing is that we want to walk that fine line of overtraining.
Right.
Now, if you overstep that too often, we start seeing some of the residual negativity of not being resilient, but constantly pushing that training.
Yes.
It makes you really, really injury resistant.
Yeah. That is probably, you know, I probably have to put that up there with probably the most valuable, tool, you know, that you have in your backpack because you're a CrossFit athlete.
But if you overdo it, it will bite you in the ass.
Yes, that is true. And there's a fine line. There's a fine line between this mental toughness that is created through these type of workouts and stupidity.
Yep.
Right. So you just have to be smart about, you know, some of that stuff. One other one, strength wise.
Well, I think too, also CrossFit, the community of CrossFit, like, it, maybe it's an intangible, but the community of CrossFit, there's also those parallel lines within teamwork.
Yeah.
That is, and especially like in a buds environment or a selection process environment where you have a bunch of people competing. I mean, we kind of already covered that, but I think that's an aspect where the community, like, if you go in a CrossFit box and someone's going for a PR,
they're
universally supporting it. And I think that's a valuable component of CrossFit as well.
Absolutely. A lot of support. Now, you get a lot of positive feedback from your buddies. You don't get a lot of positive feedback from your buds instructors.
Or really, I mean, in all honesty, it's not that they're not being supported in buds. But, you know, there's a big difference between the emotion, the outward emotion of Bud's pre-Hell Week and post. It's almost like a different program.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking about from student to student.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Like, because it's funny, I'm looking at, like, even the pictures I post and stuff, and Richard Schoenberg from Only Easy Day, like, he's got 17,000 photos, and I'm looking through them, and even the book, like, I don't remember any of those faces pre-Hell Week, really. Wow. I mean, other than, like, some guys I do that I was friends with, but there's guys, honestly, after Hell Week, I go, I've never even had a conversation with you. And then, obviously, you graduate with them, they become friends.
Right.
But it's funny, man. Like, of the 188 guys in my buds class, and, like, the 22 of us that made it through Hell Week, that ended up graduating, we graduated 44, but there's only 22, I think, that made it through Hell Week.
Wow.
That I graduated with.
Yeah.
But you look at him and go, what's your name? I've never even talked to you. because you get lost in the masses, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
But
absolutely.
Yeah, I thought that was a very interesting thing. But anyways, and you don't typically have that in CrossFit. CrossFit, everyone kind of is really pretty friendly.
Yeah. So I think that's positive. I would say another event at Bud's that's really good, that's going to be good for the CrossFitter, as long as they can pick up some of the techniques, is the obstacle course.
Yes.
Yeah. That won't be a problem for the CrossFit athlete, because that's ideal for the CrossFit athlete. I mean, it's
a lot of pressing, you know, a lot of pressing in CrossFit too, for like boats and logs and stuff too are valuable.
Especially now, I will say, you did mention mobility. One thing I have seen in CrossFit athletes who come to swim with me, if they don't have any swimming background whatsoever and they've been lifting a lot of CrossFit stuff, is that this shoulder part is very tight. Like it is very hard for them to do this. Yeah. Like to kick off the wall and be a rocket. I mean, their shoulder mobility is a little low.
Yeah.
On just, you know, being streamlined in the pool.
Yeah, and that's, you know, again, that's just to alleviate a lot of that. I'm gonna nitpick, but I mean this in a scientific way. A lot of the push jerking that happens in CrossFit or the overhead press, if you get in a split position, you're going to see your shoulder mobility improve, as long as that posterior heel isn't down.
Right.
So, like, that's one of those things where, like, we can help somebody in the water get here if we can get them under load, okay? And one of those things, too, under load in a split position with that back foot heel up, glutes tight. And then the other piece we can do is, like, well, yeah, I have a hard time getting overhead. We'll just take, like, a barbell and then put 25s or, you know, the ones that are round, and you just basically, you know, basically becomes a big ab wheel.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yep.
And so that we're actually loading the scapula distally, right? And that's the big thing too. Or you do it with the TRX.
Yeah.
You just get out there and get.
Yeah. High rise. Yeah,
because when you're pressing on something, or, you know, you can even go to the point of, like, we just need to get you pressing overhead, essentially, where the shoulder, we're not in a shrug.
Right.
So there's ways to change that. But anyway, I'm kind of getting off track a little bit. But it's one of those things where we look at somebody, and when we add a little bit of diversity to any program, whether it's powerlifter or CrossFitter, we see big improvements very quickly.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's kind of I think that's a pretty good broad view of the positives.
I tell you what, out of the athletes we've done so far, I think they have the most strengths so far.
So far, yep, yeah, agreed. Yeah, we so haven't far. Again. We'll get to it. We haven't gotten to the wrestlers yet.
Yeah, wrestlers got a ton of strengths.
Yeah, jiu-jitsu and those sort of things too. But
and even lacrosse players.
Yep.
You know, they're really
polo.
Good too.
Yep. We kind of already covered the water polo a little bit, but
yeah,
we keep again. What guy, folks? We're listening. We're going to get to all these athletes.
Yep.
So, but we just want to segment them appropriately. So let's jump into, we'll jump into the negatives and we'll cover some of the programming fixes.
Sounds good.
Or shortfalls.
I always say this, and this goes towards the typical CrossFit athlete, the guy that does it for 30 minutes and is done for the day. Okay. Not the competitive guy who's doing it for hours. There is no 30 minute gym workout that will prepare you for a day of SEAL training.
Yep.
Right.
Optimally.
Optimally. If you're in a 30 minute workout program, right, and you're really excited that you finished a 30 minute workout in 22 minutes, hey, that's great. It's a good thing, but that alone is not going to do it. What I tell people to do is, if that's your thing and you love doing, you know, timed workouts and make them as fast as possible, make that your warm up. You know, let that be your warm up, and then you go into the running, the swimming, the rucking, maybe some higher rep calisthenics, you know, that you worked earlier that day, you know, and then the next day, don't work those muscle groups again. You know, let them have a day to recover and go do something else. It might be just a cardio day, because you may have worked every muscle group that day. Make it a longer cardio day, you know, and get it, put in your time, because you got to put in your time, especially if you're going Army SF, you're going to spend hours rucking. Right. And if you're new to swimming, you should be swimming every day, significant amount of time to get that technique down and practice. And then once you get the technique down, it takes some time to build that conditioning up. So once again, it kind of depends on the CrossFit athlete on which one you are, but also some of your other athletic background that you brought in before CrossFit. If you're already a swimmer and you're doing CrossFit, that's a really good thing. You know, but if you got to learn how to swim and you think anything over 400 meters is long distance, you know, in your, you know, high intensity interval training, you may want to, you know, add in some more running programs to that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think that, and that's also not to say that the person that's doing it, doing CrossFit for 30 minutes or 40 minutes every day or 5 days a week, it's not say that they're not doing CrossFit, right, or anything like that. No. We're talking about we're looking at optimal training, and we, you know, some of your training programs, we want them to be abbreviated. But again, like, let's use Fran for an example. Fran could only, you know, might only take you 15, 18 minutes to do Fran, and it's crazy intense. Well, let's look at it a day of Buds. Like, because that's almost what we're simulating, just like, you know, why we do resistance training in a certain way. We're trying to simulate the performance value needed so in a given sport to improve that sport's performance. Right. So let's say you do Fran and it takes you X time.
Right.
Well, take a 10-minute break. Well, that's what you're going to get in Buds. You're going to get 20-30-minute break in between evolutions.
Yep.
But do something else. It might be geared a little bit different, right? Let's say you do Fran and you're smoked. We'll take 15, 20 minutes. Drink some water, have a quick snack. Well, now I'm going to go jump in the pool. 20, 30 minutes. Okay, whatever it is, half an hour. But again, let's try to recreate the energy needed or the get kind of the flow of how a training day might look like. And then now that doesn't have to be done every day, because like, let's say your training program is already scheduled to take 90 minutes, right? That's why I say, hey, like, let's take the afternoon off and eat and fuel and then maybe train that evening. Okay. Cause again, we don't, you know, a boxer doesn't become a better boxer by practicing getting punched in the face either.
True.
But we do need to spar, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's something we do need to get that gut check. But we want to do it with a good plan.
Yeah. You know,
fuel and refuel and have a plan.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of where, so that's where I'm going to, the segue for me is that's the another negative when it comes to CrossFit WOD. Okay. Like the daily WOD is like the for the shortfall is that you may have these, you know, if you look up what a French contrast method is, like I just today, this morning published my power workout. It's based off of French contrast method. And it's saying, like, here's an example of a French contrast for legs. So jump squat, barbell back position, barbell back squat, jump squat position at 30% of your body weight for 6 reps. Bam. You set it down, right? You go into a rear elevated split squat jump with a 15-pound medicine ball. Boom. 6 jumps each leg switch. Okay. And then we drop that ball. You walk 10 feet away. You get into basically a 4-point stance. Okay, like a down lineman, and you boom, big max broad jump vertical, stick the landing. 4-point stance, you do that 4 times. And then you walk right over to the TRX with your hands, and you do 6 max quick jumps. 1, 2,
oh, okay.
3, 4. So you see the velocity stays up as the difficulty goes down.
Right.
So that might only take you, that realistically might only take you like 1 minute and 10 seconds to do that.
Yeah.
Take 90 seconds off, do it again. So that's the French contrast model for peaking.
Yes.
And so we look at CrossFit and go, well, that is, you know, the heart is doing something very similar, but the velocity is diminishing because, like, you may start off with a burpee, right? And then you're going to do a hang clean. It should be the opposite, right? We're talking about keeping velocity up and work capacity up, okay? You might start off with, like, wall balls, right? And then you're going to do burpees, and then you're going to do, you know, glute ham flex, whatever it is. Then you go, the order is sometimes off on those WODs as far as optimization. That's just the physiology of it. Let me be very clear. I'm not saying you're wrong for doing that stuff. What we're trying to do is in the same sense of like, if we're trying to get the best performance out of your pushups, I'm not going to have you do a bunch of dips before we do a max pushup test.
Right.
Okay, I want to phase those in. Okay, or same thing as like, I'm not going to do a bunch of push-ups before I do, you know, 10 sets of 10 at 76% on a barbell bench press.
Right.
You want to make sure they're ordered accordingly. So that's what the difference is, that 30-minute guy, the kind of the guy that wants to be competitive in the CrossFit world, and then you have the actual competitive CrossFit athlete. That's where you start seeing that undulating program periodization model, block periodization. And that's the shortfall, is that if all you're doing is the WADs, yeah, that's what you're getting. You're just kind of it's a little bit randomized. It's a lot randomized.
Yeah.
So, and it's not a, again, I'm not, we're, I mean, I'm talking be, from a standpoint might, of physiology.
Yeah. It might not be randomized for CrossFit, because that's
what right.
It yes. is. It is randomized for bud specific type.
Yes.
Training.
Yep. And so. Sports side too. And that's why you see, there are very, very few, to my knowledge, there are no NFL, and I know there is none in Major League Baseball, there are no CrossFit modeled programs in high performance sport. But that's, so let me say that with, like, listen, I understand and I agree that CrossFit games are fucking serious. I get it. Like, but it's not the same. Okay. Right. Like, I would never have an NFL football player would never do well at the games compared to those athletes. And the same token as a CrossFit competitive games athlete would not be do very well on NFL football field. So, again, we are comparing apples and oranges, truly.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we go back to the classic Fitz principle?
Yep.
All right. Yes. So we'll break this down in strengths and weaknesses according to Fitz. And Fitz stands for frequency, intensity, time, and specificity.
Yes.
So frequency, typically those CrossFitters get after it every day. I mean, they are doing something. They might take a rest day here and there, but they're pretty frequent with their workouts.
Intensity. That's a thumbs up. Yes.
Thumbs up, absolutely. Intensity. Yep. There's thumbs no up. no arguing with intensity. They get after it.
Yep.
Time. You know, the
it depends
time,
on those three. Like, which one of those three are we talking about? Right? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It does depend on those three. Also depends on what are you training for.
Yep.
Right. Are you training for CrossFit? Then, or if you work full time and you need a 30-minute workout and that's all you have time for.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Time preparing for buds. You have to put in the time.
Yep.
You have to put in the extra time, and we'll say any special ops for that matter. Running, rucking, swimming. You already got the strength. You got muscle endurance. Maybe now let's go into the specifics, you know, because some of the specifics, you're going to have to pass a fitness test to get to these trainings. You know, check out our earlier podcast when we talk about to the training. What do you do to get to the training? That's swim a 500-yard swim, pull up, push up, sit ups, mile and a half run. You know, those are some of your specifics that you have to focus on in the first part of your training. Otherwise, you will never get two buds.
Yeah.
Right.
So that might be the only thumbs down, I think.
Right.
Specificity. Yeah. For CrossFit, specificity for CrossFit, perfect.
Yes.
Specificity for performance, performing at an optimal level on a BUDS or SFPST, not the best.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, like I said, you have to practice those events specifically.
Yes.
Then the specificity changes once you get to the training. You now have to get through the training, as we also had another podcast on focusing on just getting through the training. And now you got to go specific with 4-mile timed runs fast, you know, at a good pace, not super fast. I mean, if you do a 7-minute mile pace, you're going to be fine.
Yep.
Right. If you can break 7, you get extra points. You know, 2-mile ocean swim with fins. You know, the first part of the swim was without fins to get to the training. Now, 99% of your swims at BUDS will be with fins.
Yep.
And then you're going to have to get through some pool skills drills, drown proofing, life saving, knot tying, breath holds, you know, things like that. Underwater swims, treading. That's a big one too, especially if you're super lean, treading is harder.
Yep.
And then what else we got? We got obstacle courses, which we already said you're probably going to be pretty good at once you get the technique down. Just for body mass and ability to do that type of intense workout, because it's intense. That obstacle course is meant to be an anaerobic crusher.
Yes.
You know, you sprint in between those obstacles and you make it happen. And you try to get it done as fast as you can.
Yep. Climbing is a great, as again, CrossFit, climbing, you see people that do like these crush CrossFit, typically the workouts, and then you put a rope in front of them after their tire. Cause I believe the last CrossFit games, I remember watching, maybe no, it was the one before, that's what it was, where David's daughter, I forget, the woman from Iceland that won it for once or twice. Yeah. She was crushing it, and then she got to the rope portion. It was basically, it started off, I forget what it was. It was a climb, and then it was a rope climb, and then it was a bike, and then it was a clean, and it was like, they just, and there was a, I think there was a glass pegboards too, and it was like,
woo.
It's just a rope. The rope is like the water. It's a great equalizer.
Yeah.
Right? This goes fast. So what we want to do is go, okay, well, so here's my segue into like, okay, well, we're going to talk about some of the weaknesses, which is obvious and apparent, but it doesn't mean it's bad. It's just the nature of it. Okay. And then we go, okay, well, you might be thinking, wait a minute. I know, or I've heard, or I know a guy that like X unit, X selection, they're doing CrossFit style workouts and selection. Well, yeah, they do, because they don't take up a ton of time. They're a kick in the butt, number one. And those style of workouts are a little bit more manageable with larger groups.
Yeah.
So it fits perfect in those selection. I know like the rescue swimmers do it, right? There you'll find those CrossFit style basically workouts in the Marine Corps and the Navy. You'll find them in all branches of service. You will, absolutely. Yeah. But then, you know, the segue then becomes, okay, well, guys, that's where Stu is saying, is like getting to the training may look very different at times that in the training that may, what should look very, very different at times when you're done.
After the training. Yes.
After.
Yeah.
And so that's where they go. Well, so now we go, all right. So now we've talked about strengths a little bit. We talked a little about weaknesses. So then, well, okay, that's great and all, guys, but where's the solution? Okay. Now it's not this cut and dry, as hopefully you're understanding, it's not a cut and dry solution, because it's good training. It's really good training. I think the biggest thing I have is this, and we've kind of already talked about it, is that doing that style of training too frequently when you really should be chilling out a bit, because the stress is way up here in the tactical population, even when we're deployed. If we just keep piling on the nervous system strengths by high frequency, high intensity training sessions, we're probably going to, I say, you know, stress is our ability to handle stress is a bowl. Stress is a water, right? If we get too much stress, it's going to spill over and make a mess. So, but we need to be able to filter that stress, and that's through good training. You know, we have a good drain on that bowl, but we also want to get a bigger bowl.
Yes.
And that's where CrossFit does a good job. CrossFit gives us a really big bowl. It just sometimes makes us a really small drain.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way I look at it. And I go, okay, guys, let's – and here's the number one rule I have, and I know Stu will agree with me. Number one rule when it comes to training is do what you enjoy.
Yeah.
If you enjoy doing CrossFit, do it. We just need you to go, all right, I could probably do a small, you know, 7, 8, 10, you know, 2 or 3 week, 7, 8, 10 day or 2 or 3 week program. Like, you know what? I'm going to focus a little bit more on absolute strength, right? Not be so dynamic in a high intensity. I'm going to give yourself a strategic rest period. Really is all you're doing.
Yeah. You're probably going to be, hormonally less stressed.
Yes.
By doing one of two different cycles. Yeah, I would say calisthenic, running cardio cycle, swimming cycle, you know, just kind of lay off the reps a little bit, or lay off the weight, maybe play around with the reps for your PT test, and then get into a pure strength cycle and really reduce your intensity in that pure strength cycle just a little bit. But you can still, after you're doing the strength, you can still run. You can still swim, right? And still focus on some of those elements that, you know, will be weaknesses if you skip them. Yep. Right.
Imagine this, folks. This is where I do this. I do Fran, but instead of doing this stereotypical Fran, I'll call it Franny or Frank or something. Like, I'm going to call it Frank. And I'll do my push presses and then I'll take however long it takes me to do those 21 push presses. I'll take that time and I basically do a 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 work rest ratio before I do the pull-ups. And then I go back.
Right. So you're just not timing your workout.
Yeah. I just turned this high intensity program into more of a hypertrophy strength.
Yes.
So I guess if we start removing that racing the clock aspect to a lot of those stereotypical CrossFit workouts, those WODs, then we're win-win. You still get to enjoy all the wonderful things of CrossFit, but you also get that wonderful side of, hey, I need to give my nervous system a break. I need to give my joints a break. I need to go the sort of things that we do. It's the same thing as like you see power lifters. There's a phase of deloading where they just do bodybuilding work.
Yep.
Because it just chills off their nervous. That's why it calms their nervous system. It allows their joints and ligaments to catch up a little bit more so that stress goes away.
Yep.
And that's exactly why in my programs, I have some days dedicated specifically to biceps. Some days are specifically for triceps because it allows me to deload some of those high intensity days. So I'm still getting I don't want to miss training because I love it.
Yeah.
Right. But also it allows me to I love to push press. It's one of my favorite things to do. But if all I'm doing is doing heavy push presses, I'm just like, God bless my shoulders. Right. And that affects my bench press. That affects my squat. It affects my deadlift.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest for me is okay, don't stop doing CrossFit.
Yeah.
Just change your rest periods.
Yeah. That's a really good.
Do the WODs.
Yep.
Right.
Do the WODs. You can still use them as a warm up and then, do the things you don't necessarily like to do.
Yeah. Run, that's the simplest swim, solution run. that I can come to.
Yeah.
Is it CrossFit if you look at CrossFit on paper, just by the workouts that or the exercise names, you're gonna go, wow, what a great program. It is. Sometimes we just gotta go, all right, set the ego aside. I'm not chasing PRs and I'm not chasing a time.
Yes.
I need to train, I wanna train, but I really could use 2 weeks of or 10 days of just not chasing my tail.
So and I'll tell you what, you'll feel better doing that. If you make it a little less intense, you'll feel better by making the workouts longer.
Yeah.
Especially when you start adding on new elements such as swimming and such as running timed runs, for a longer distance.
Yeah.
Things
and that's
like that.
Exactly what you say. Like, let's say you do Fran, then you go, well, wait a minute, that's not enough work. Do Fran twice.
Yeah.
But we just change the workout, right? We just change the rest period. And then, well, after I'm done with, do 21 twice.
Right.
Right. You just double it up. Yeah. Now you've extended your training. And then, on the back of it, I'm going to go for a nice, good 2-mile run. Now I really change the dynamic of that training day.
Yep. Absolutely. Or, for some of your rest periods, mix in some sit-ups. That is a tested element. And we'll call it resting with sit-ups.
Yep.
Do a 1 minute, make it
do
a pacing.
Plank.
Yeah, plank. Yeah, make it a pacing drill so that, the 2-minute sit-up test, where people screw up in the 2-minute sit-up test is, and I've seen a lot of CrossFitters do this, they just start off like it's a sprint.
Yeah.
Right? If you can just pace it off like your 30 seconds, if you can do 25 sit-ups in 30 seconds, instead of where people go wrong and they get 35 in 30 seconds, and they can't match that in the next minute and a half. If you drop that a notch to 20 to 25, right, and you just maintain that pace for 3 or 4 30-second blocks, now you're looking at 80 to 100 reps and sit-ups.
Yep.
And I didn't make you stronger. I just made you smarter.
So right? I just did that the other day. So I took on a new online client. He did his PST. He had 64 sit-ups. I had him download a metronome app, like a music app, click.
Yep.
And I said, I want you to set it at 90. So it's 90 clicks, click, click over 2 minutes.
Yep. Perfect.
In 1 week, he improved without doing anything.
Right.
He went from 64 to 87.
Yeah. It's no difference than when you have to run 6 laps around a track to get a mile and a half and you decide you're going to sprint that first mile.
Yeah.
Right.
Crush it.
And you're done. I mean, your laps get slower and slower and slower every time. But if you set yourself up at that goal pace, if it's 90 second quarter mile pace, you're going to hit 90 seconds, 90 seconds. Next thing you know, you got a 9 minute mile and a half.
Yeah.
You know, so I think probably, you know, after talking with Jeff with this show is, you know, that time is a big, big factor.
Yes.
To just making a small change with your time and your intervals and your rest periods, you know, to turn your high intensity program into a little less intensity. So you still have some, you know, anaerobic energy left over as well as some aerobic energy to go do your other stuff. Yeah.
Because you have to build, so you understand this, that reservoir thing or gas tank, whatever you want to call it, you have to build the capacity for that work volume before you can just get work volume.
Yes.
And so, like, and that's so, now, and then my last kind of a segue is that, is this, is like, okay, well, now understand this, and I do too. Like the burpee, for example, this is my segue, right, kind of to the dumb questions and so forth, or is that, sometimes by design, and I agree with it, you do an exercise like a burpee to pre-fatigue, to create, right? Like you create that stress that then you have to endure. But understand this about the nervous system, and this is physiological fact. If you are always forcing yourself to train in a state of fatigue to like really sub-maximal effort or sub-maximal capability because you just thrashed yourself and then you got to go do your workout. When you get in a point of high stress, whether it be BUDS or SFAS or PJ school or whatever it is, when you encounter stress, your body will downshift. You will not perform as well. Okay. So now, yes, we want to train in a state of fatigue, but if that's all you ever do is set yourself up for maximal fatigue, 100% of the time, when you encounter stress, your body will regress because it's trying to save energy.
Yeah.
Which is good why point. We want to just kind of like, okay, I say 100% of the time. And I mean that if that's all you ever do. But now, like if you're training for building that capacity, you know, building in rest periods occasionally, do those sort of things, you won't do that. All of a sudden you'll be like, wow, I got an extra gear I never had. But it's like, I didn't really do anything different. I just started focusing on different rest periods for a bit. Yes, because you tell your nervous system like, hey, I'm in control. We're freaking out a little bit, but I got this. I'm going to train smart. And then we got to unleash the beast. You're like, holy crap, what happened?
Right.
We just let ourselves recover for a bit is what happened.
That's beautiful.
We were able to just, you know, that, you know, we're trying to shift into fifth gear and you have your iPhone there and you can't get into fifth gear. You got to move that phone, you know, the kind of thing. It's like, okay, sometimes you got to chill out. Okay. Yeah. And so that's kind of my, you know, what do you got on that, Stu?
No, I think that's a great way to describe it. You know, and it goes back to that FITS principle. Think about the FITS principle: frequency, intensity, time, and specificity. You know, that is a tried and true for generations method of creating workout programming. You know, for whatever goal that is, and you can change the variables all you want. But just take a look at that. If your, you know, frequency is there, your intensity is there, you may have to pull back a little bit on some of the intensity, you know, and maybe go aerobic instead of anaerobic.
Yes.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
In fact, you need to specifically for this type of training.
Yeah, it's a flip-flop for the big strong guy. That big strong guy needs to get his ass aerobic.
Yes.
So it's the same, like we could have the same conversation just from a different angle about someone that's has no aerobic capacity, but they're strong as a horse.
Yes.
Same stuff, guys. It's just, this is a different athlete now.
Yeah, absolutely. So that gets us to the stupid question of the week. And this is a classic because I tell you what, you know, burpees, since CrossFit, I have been doing burpees. You know, I don't like them, but I will say this for me, in my mid-40s, now late-40s, they are a great warm-up for me. Like, I can go do a little pyramid set of burpees, and I am ready to roll. So I consider it kind of like my dynamic stretching, right? Especially if I'm doing an upper body day, even lower body day, you know, full body day. It's a full body calisthenic exercise, right? So here's what we do. I do this thing called the burpee pyramid. and you do one burpee, and you run to the other end of a basketball court, and you do two burpees. You run back, three burpees, four burpees, five burpees. And it doesn't have to be a run. It can also be dynamic stretches. It can be butt kickers, Frankenstein steps, side steps, you know, just whatever you want to do to kind of warm up and do that. So I have this thing written out, you know, as part of the top of my warm-up, part of the workout. It's called Burpee Pyramid, one burpee, 30 m, right, which means 30 meters, right? Two burpees, 30 m. Three burpees, 30 m. So I actually got a question the other day from some guy that says, you know, your warm-up is going to take me over 2 hours to do. And I said, it should do that. It should only take you 3 minutes. What are you talking about? He goes, well, do you want me to run 30 minutes after every burpee set? And I was just like, I don't even know how to answer that. You know, I said, this is M is for meters. You know, if you look throughout the rest of the book, you'll see that I actually either abbreviate minutes by M-I-N or I write the whole word minutes out. Yeah. Right. But I do not write the whole word meters out. Right. Which perhaps I should.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I think that's what guys, a point I guess really is like when all we ever do is let people lead us somewhere and stop, and we don't think for ourselves, this is what we end up getting.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an honest mistake, but at the same time.
I mean, just ask yourself the question first, yeah. Right? Does this warm up make sense that I am having you run for 2 hours?
Yeah. 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 And that's where, like, I guess I forget what I texted you the other day. I said, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So my dumbest question I've gotten to date is this, and it was on my YouTube channel. I text you someone. Oh, he said, this is exactly what he emailed me. Hey Jeff, what did you do to prepare for Buds? And he did it on my YouTube channel, which that's the entire video sequence that you and I've done. But it's like, this is how I prepared for Buzz.
Yeah, it's out there. The information is out there.
Yeah, there's like 67 videos I have on YouTube about how I trained and how you should train for Buzz. And someone asked that question.
Yeah, that's. You know what? There's a lot to be said about attention to detail, you know, when you ask questions.
Yeah.
And, you know, and when you see something and, you know, so anyway, yeah. So we still get stupid questions and we're not knocking the guys for asking it. It's just they're not thinking when they ask these questions, you know, so.
Yeah, I think, that's the big thing is now I think some people get pretty excited.
Sure.
And they don't think, which we've all done that. But this in that particular case, these questions of like, we got to do better than that, folks. We just got to. So, Anyways, enough really about that kind of stuff. So again, kind of how we jokingly talked about last time. Hey, we'll end the show with like Kill Cliff. So Kill Cliff is owned by a former Navy SEAL, right? He's a founder, or whatever. So same idea. We'll keep the same trend. So a very good friend of mine, somebody I graduated with Buds with, his name is Andy Urbito. And he owns Half Face Blades.
Ah, yes.
So this is one of his. He made me a custom hatchet, you know, my squadron logo on it. Awesome. You know, it's got an inlaid trident. It's got elk bone handle. I like guns, I guess, but there's something about knives and hatchets. I got a bunch, man. Like I'm like, it's getting to the point where I'm like, Andy, stop making cool stuff because I just can't stop buying it. You know what I mean? I mean, take a look at their stuff, guys. Like it's next. I've got some really good blades, like from Winkler, which I carried and stuff, but like, I'm just, and I think maybe like that's kind of an impromptu thing too. Like we'll definitely have the stupid questions of the day, but we'll start picking, you know, not just SEAL, but veteran organizations that we support. I think it's a good idea.
Yep. Yeah, Killcliff also, by the way, I don't know if you said that, but Killcliff is a Navy SEAL run program.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
so they support the Navy SEAL Foundation too.
Yep, absolutely.
Like, I think with all the purchases, a portion of the proceeds go to the Navy SEAL Foundation. So,
and they're huge in CrossFit, right?
Boom,
right? Boom. There you go. Killcliff.
So maybe we'll do that too. We'll kind of end the segments here with the dumb question and then you know, a veteran-owned or SEAL-owned businesses that I think are worth knowing about. Pretty cool.
Absolutely. Stuff. I love it. So anyway, that wasn't too bad. We did beat up on CrossFit. We beat up on CrossFit just like we beat up on the swimmer athlete, the football athlete, the running athlete. Next, we're going to beat up on the wrestling athlete.
You know? Yep. So we'll do that.
There you go. All right. Jeff, as always, thank you.
Awesome. We'll talk to you soon.
We'll see you.